Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are studying the life and message of John the Forerunner, the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah. We saw John the son of Zechariah was in the desert. His entire life, his attire, his food was all a sign for the people of Israel, sign of a prophet, sign of an ascetic, a prophet calling people to conversion. Jesus himself spoke about John, about his life and who he was. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, we read, "When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who put on fine clothing and live in luxury are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you."" So Jesus himself is giving witness to John as the prophet. John, a prophet like Elijah, who came to prepare the people, to prepare the people to receive the Messiah. What did John think about himself? In the Gospel of John, it is said that the Jewish leaders sent a delegation to the baptizer asking who he was. And we read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. "This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.'" So he is denying that he is the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet like Moses. Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" So John presents himself as a voice calling out to prepare the way. And this message is further clarified in the Gospel of Matthew and that of Luke. What did John preach? How did John prepare the people? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, we have this, what John tells the people. Verse 7 and following. "John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who want you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now that axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Three important insights are to be obtained from this initial preaching of John. First, John is addressing the crowds that comes to him as brood of vipers. Why? Why is he calling them vipers, or brood of vipers, or snakes, serpents? It's very often said, it's because of the context of the desert. John is familiar with the desert, And even though there's no much vegetation, there could be some shrubs and dry twigs and leaves in the desert. And by chance, when a fire occurs in this desert, the snakes that are in the hole somewhere in the desert all will run away, try to escape from the wildfire. So this is the image John has in mind when he sees the people coming to Jordan to be baptized by him, escaping from the impending judgment. They're calling them vipers, like trying to flee from the fire. But there is something more to it. It's not only the fire. The very nature of the serpent or vipers has something to do with the image. The vipers or the snakes as a whole, we know, do not have ears. They don't hear the sound. They perceive the movement in the air, the vibrations on the ground and in the air that is being perceived by the skin of the serpents. So the snakes do not have ear. In the psalm it would be said, it's like the snakes that close their ears to the song of the snake chanters. They don't have ears to close. It would mean the people who come to be baptized are like snakes who do not hear. They do not want to listen to the word of God. They only want to escape the impending judgment. Not being converted, not being convinced by the word, only kind of escapism. So the people who refuse to listen to the word, they are the snakes or brood of vipers. So I think the image John is showing is, this is how you are, like snakes who do not want to hear. You do not want to hear the word of God. Now he is telling, this is useless. You come to be baptized, you come to the water. So it's a kind of ritual. So the first negation, so to say, is a mere ritual is not going to save your lives. You are like snakes trying to escape from the wildfire, running to the water. But this kind of being immersed in the water alone is not going to help you. Baptism alone will not save anybody unless there is a corresponding change of heart, a conversion. That's the first thing. No rituals alone will be of help. The second is your presumption of tradition. Don't boast, we have Abraham as our ancestor. Don't say you are the children of Abraham, that you are the heirs of the promise. Of course, the promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. But the very fact that you are physically descended from Abraham will not give you any priority, any particular protection from the impending judgment. So tradition alone, heritage alone, will not help anybody. What is needed is something else. So no empty ritual, no claim of heritage, of election, will be of any help. The third is conversion can be tomorrow. John is telling, no, the judgment is already here. It is impending. To put off the day of conversion will be disastrous. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. The tree is being cut down. Unless you produce fruit of repentance, you are going to face total destruction. So this is the message, the initial message. There is no escapism. You cannot claim that you will be saved because you are the sons of Abraham, because you are the heirs of promise. You cannot be saved by empty rituals. You cannot postpone your conversion for tomorrow. Then what? Be converted today. Produce the fruits of repentance. That's what John is telling. The fruits of repentance. And what are these fruits of repentance? Fruits of repentance is presented like this in Luke 3 verses 10 and following. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two cords must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Sharing of what you have. Food and clothing, the basic necessities of life. That's where the conversion should become evident. So John is asking for a change of mind, a conversion. It's a prophetic message. The prophets, all the prophets without exception, were calling people to conversion. And they call the word, the term is shuv, return. Turn to, turn towards God, turn towards your neighbor. I take some examples. In Jeremiah chapter 3, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Jeremiah 4:1, if you return, O Israel, says the Lord, if you return to me, if you remove your abominations, etc., return to him. In chapter 6, verse 16, Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. Return to the Lord. Take the right path. The same story is repeated in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 11 and following. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Turn back. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Return to the Lord. And what does it mean in concrete? How is one to return to the Lord? Isaiah has given a very clear picture of this conversion, of returning to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. So this is what conversion means. This is what returning to the Lord means. Return to the Lord means return to the neighbor. And that's what John is telling. Share your food. Share the clothing. The basic minimum necessities of life should become available for all. So the work of justice and mercy should be the visible sign of conversion, John insisted. In order to receive the forgiveness of sin that is being granted through the Messiah, one has to prepare one's own heart by this effective conversion. And John continues to advise the people about this conversion. Now, in verse 12, chapter 3 of Luke, even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. We have already seen who the tax collectors are, how they were making exorbitant profits out of the expense of the people, extorting high amounts, much more than was legal, much more than was legally permitted. Now, the tax collectors were a hated group, a people hated by the Jews because they were working with the foreign domination, the colonizing Roman power, and they were hated also because they were making unjust profit, extorting, exploiting the people. Now these tax collectors, they do not have to quit the job, John says. You don't have to abandon your job, but you have to be just. Don't extort people. Don't make unjust gain. Then comes the next category, verse 14. Soldiers also came and asked him. This could be the soldiers in service of Rome, or more probably, soldiers of Herod. And what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. and be satisfied with your wages. Be satisfied with your wages. Don't exploit, don't extort. All sorts of professions are necessary in the life. For the community, for people to live in community, we need all this. Tax officers, customs officers, police officers, all these are necessary. All sorts of professions. People do not have to quit their job. When you are touched by God's word, you don't have to quit the job. Somebody has to do all this necessary work. Everybody cannot quit the job and go as telling from tomorrow onwards, I am going to be a preacher of the word. This business I don't want to do. This profession I don't want to continue. That's not what John is asking. Remain there where you are planted. But be just in your dealings. So the conversion is to be expressed by a just execution of your duties. By doing service, honestly, a police officer should be a just officer. He should bring law and order in society according to the law. Bringing peace, establishing justice in the world. A judge should do the same. The soldiers should defend the country. The merchants should make things available for the people. And all these people have to make a living out of their job, proportionately. So don't quit your job, but be just in your work. That's what John is telling. In order to prepare the way for the Lord, in order to prepare to receive the Messiah, the heart has to be changed. A love that enables one to share food and clothing, not to accumulate wealth, and not to enjoy life for oneself, not to go on sumptuous, luxurious feasting when your neighbor is dying of starvation, not to accumulate wealth when the others are living below poverty line. So John is giving very practical advice for all of us even today. Be just, be merciful, be kind, be sharing. In this way, you prepare your heart for the coming of the Lord. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your messenger, John, to prepare the way in our hearts for your Son. Enable us to see the other as our neighbor, as our brother and our sister. Enable us to open our hearts to them in mercy and compassion, in sharing love. In such a way, we'll be enabled to receive your grace and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.